Well, this morning our Bibles are pre-marked to Acts chapter number 17. Our Bibles are pre-marked to Acts chapter number 17. But before we get to Acts chapter number 17, I just want to remind us that we're continuing in our series entitled Made for God's Purpose. Made for God's Purpose. And as we're looking at this particular series, quickly before we get into this particular series, I just want to take a moment to remind us of our theme this year. Our theme and our emphasis that's carrying us this year is preparing the church for the next move of God. Preparing the church for the next move of God. And when we talk about preparing, we're talking about making ready. We're talking about making ready. We're talking about making available. We're talking about equipping for a specific purpose. Let me say that again. When we talk about preparing the church for the next move of God, we're talking about making the church ready for a specific purpose. We're talking about making ourselves available for a specific purpose. We're talking about equipping ourselves for a specific purpose. But in order to be prepared for the next move of God, we must know why we are here. In order for us to be prepared for the next move of God, we must know why we are here. And church, that is in fact important to us. That is in fact critical to us. Because if we don't know why we're here, it's going to be hard for us to accept who we are. And if we cannot accept who we are, we're not going to be able to accept what we ought to in fact be doing in order to be prepared. And so when we begin to look at preparing ourselves for the next move of God, we're looking at the series that we're made for God's purpose. We're made for God's purpose. And I just want to share with us this morning that the greatest tragedy in life is not death. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but being alive and not know why. See, because if we don't know why, and why we're here, and we don't know why we have time. If we don't know why we're here, we don't know why we have time. And what we can do is we can find ourselves abusing the time that we have, doing things that are not fruitful and not productive for us. They're not necessary for us to live a fruitful and productive life. And oftentimes what happens, you know, it's not in the Bible necessarily, but it says that idle hands are a devil's workshop. You remember that? What that actually speaks to is that when you don't know why you have time, you can find yourself doing things that's going to destroy your life. You'll find yourself wasting time. You'll find yourself wasting life in those things that are not going to push you forward, those things that are not going to lead to fulfillment in your life. And you can find yourself actually wasting life. And the last thing that we want to do is to waste our life. And church, you and I know through experience, when we don't have anything to do, that's when we seem to get in trouble. See, that's why parents keep their children busy. Listen, my father kept us busy from sun up, even beyond sundown. There was no idle time. And when I say no idle time, I mean, our lives were full. Our lives were full because there was something that he knew. And one of the things that he knew is that if you just have idle time, you're going to get in trouble. And even as adults, when we have idle time, we'll get ourselves in trouble. We'll get ourselves in trouble. I know many of you don't believe it, but it's so. And that comes as a result of not knowing why we're here. Because when we understand why we're here, we understand better how to use our time and what time is actually for. And here's the thing about it is that the creator of a thing establishes the purpose of a thing. The creator of a thing establishes the purpose of a thing. And so when we talk about the purpose, we're talking about the reason or the intent of a thing. And so when we talk about you and I being made for God's purpose, we understand that God establishes our purpose. And as he establishes our purpose, he establishes the reason and the intent for our being here. He establishes the reason or the intent of our being here. We don't determine that. And we just can't choose that. We just can't come up with something. And oftentimes we find situations and circumstances now where people will come up with a purpose of their own. And they say that their passion is aligned with what they're doing. We don't necessarily have to have a passion for the reason or the intent for which God created us. See, because our passion can in fact be driven out of selfish and self-centered motives. See, because we were born selfish and self-centered. We were born looking out for ourselves. We were born with our focus on ourselves. We were born with the desire to seek to please ourselves. Are we here together? But the issue as it relates to purpose is this, is that purpose has nothing to really to do about ourselves. It has to do with doing something for the benefit of others. It has something to do with the benefit of others. And oftentimes people think that their purpose is to be rich and famous. No. No. People say, my purpose is to be a star. Our purpose doesn't include being a star, it includes being a light. Being a light in dark places for others. To lead them out of darkness. It's not to lead them into darkness. People say, my purpose is to be rich and to be famous. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with being rich and famous, but you have to be careful. Because the Bible lets us know that those that are famous in the world is an enemy of God. When the world makes you famous, it's an indication that you may be opposing God. Because the friend of the world is an enemy to God. And the world will lift you up. The world will lift you up. But just as the world lifts you up, the world will turn around and pull you down. Are we here together, church? The point is, church, that we just can't choose something and say, that's my purpose. We just can't make it up ourselves because we didn't create ourselves. So it's the creator of the thing that determines the reason and or the intent. For the word of God lets us know that God has made us and that we ourselves. And we are, in fact, the sheep of his pasture. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made, meaning that God took his time. God took his time in making each and every one of us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully says that he took his time. And in true reality, church, you have to begin to look at yourself as being an awesome wonder. There you go. I got my preaching corner right here. It's a master. You are a masterpiece made by the Creator. Church, you can't get any higher than that. You can't get any higher than being a masterpiece made by the Creator. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And guess what? The Bible says that you know it. See, somewhere deep in your heart, you know that there's more to you than what you see and what other people see. That's what David says, that I've been fearfully and wonderfully made, and he says, my soul knows it right well. You know that there's more to you. And somewhere deep in your heart, you have a desire to fulfill the purpose. You have a desire to be successful. And you know that somewhere deep on the inside of you, there's more to you than what has been manifested up to this point. And so therefore, our intent for this series is that I want us to know our purpose. Church, I want us to know our purpose. I want you to know the why. Because until you know the why, you won't accept it. You won't accept the who you are. And then you'll continue to fight what you ought to do. And my purpose for this series is to renew our minds and to change our behavior. Church, our minds need to be renewed because the world has programmed our thinking. The world has programmed our thinking. And when you begin to read the newspapers and those types of things, you can begin to understand what's happening to our children, what's happening to our children. They're being spoiled in the schools. Their minds are being programmed to think a certain way toward themselves. They're being programmed to think negatively toward themselves. See, they don't know they're fearfully and wonderfully made. They don't know that they're a masterpiece created by the God that created heaven and earth and the maker of all things. But church, we're suffering from those thought processes and we're suffering from those beliefs. And so we have to renew our minds. And when our minds are renewed, our lives can in fact be transformed and we can find ourselves behaving differently. Because whoever informs our minds is controlling our minds and they're programming our actions and our decisions and our choices and how we live. And so as we continue to allow the world to dictate to us who we are, they're dictating the output of our lives. They're dictating how we live. They dictate how we see ourselves. And we begin to act accordingly how we see ourselves. And as we continue to see ourselves as being inferior, we are not maximizing our full potential. And we can find ourselves living a life that we don't want to live. And we're living a life that Jesus didn't die for us to live. And so we're living well beneath who God created us to be. Church, we're talking about being prepared for the next move of God. And the next move of God is what God wants to do in the church. He's looking to move in the church. And he's saying, I'm telling you now to prepare because I'm about to do something that no man can do. But I need you to be prepared. I need you to be made ready. I need you to be available. I need you to be equipped for a specific purpose. And the specific purpose is the purpose for which God has in fact created us. Church, are we together? And so our goal is that we will change our priorities. And church, when we know why, we'll change our priorities. When we know why we are, we'll begin to change our priorities. I mean, think about this. Jesus knew his purpose. And it dictated his priorities. Think about this. John the Baptist was Jesus in the natural, was his cousin. And in many respects, he could be considered his first cousin. John the Baptist was killed. Do you remember that? And they told Jesus, John the Baptist has been killed. But Jesus didn't go see about what happened with John the Baptist. He went a different direction. Why do you think he went a different direction? His purpose determined the priority. His purpose determined his priority. Because, see, Jesus had a course to finish. Jesus had a course to finish. That's why Jesus says, I have to work while it's day, for night cometh when no man can work. He says, I got to finish this course. And church, you and I are the benefactors of the result of Jesus finishing his course. See, if Jesus had gotten distracted and his priorities were off, he wouldn't have been able to finish his course and you and I could be sitting. Matter of fact, we wouldn't even be sitting here today. Just think if Jesus had gotten distracted and he never had gone to the cross. There would be no grace and there would be no salvation for you and I. We would not have access to a holy God. We would not have access to heaven. Our lives could in fact not be healed, fixed, repaired, and restored. We could not be in a position where we can in fact be put back in God's divine and original order. You and I would be most miserable this morning if the priorities of Jesus had gotten out of order. Church, are we together? Yeah. And so we have been looking at a number of objectives. Well, let's look at the goal. The goal is to change our priorities. That's the goal. Church, I want us to change our priorities. And if we know why we're here, if we understand God's purpose for us, we'll begin to change our priorities. And we have several objectives that we're looking at, and we looked at our first objective, understanding that we're made for God's purpose. And we looked at our first objective, we looked at the fact that God knows us, or God knew us. He knew us. God knew you before your parents did. God knew you before you had a body. And so we have come to understand that we're not a mistake and that we have value. And there's a need for us. See, God doesn't create anything where there's not a need. He doesn't create anything where there's not a need. He doesn't make anything where there's not a need. And God made you and I, so therefore there's a need for us. Church, there's a need for us that he created us to fulfill. Church, there are people that are in fact in need of us. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but you're the answer to someone's prayer. You're the answer to someone's prayer. See, that's why you're here, is because you're needed. And you're here for the benefit of others. See, you're here for the benefit of others. There's someone in need of you. Church, it's good to be needed. See, it's good to be needed. See, it's like when you're growing up and you're playing pickup basketball or football or whatever, and they're choosing up teams and choosing up sides. You don't want to be the last one. See, you want to feel as though that one of the folks choosing have a need for you. You want to be needed. God created us with that intrinsic attribute where we have a sense where we want to be needed. But the Lord is letting you know that you are in fact needed. By the mere fact that you're here this morning is an indication that you're needed. And that you are in fact the answer to someone's prayer. You're the answer to someone's cry. We also know that God knows our weaknesses, because God knows us. He knew us and he knows our weaknesses. Church, all of us have weaknesses. All of us have weaknesses. There's not a person that is here this morning that doesn't have weaknesses. Weaknesses. I didn't say weakness. I mean weaknesses, plural. And one of the reasons that we have weaknesses is because God made us, or he made our bodies out of inferior material. And the material is inferior because of Adam. Because of sin of Adam, God had to use inferior materials to make our bodies. And with those bodies come these weaknesses. We also know that he knows that we need help. See, he knew when he sent us that he was going to have to help us. Are we together? He knew that we were going to need help. And he knows how to help. See, that's why Jesus came. He said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, I have come to seek and to restore that which has in fact have been lost. He says, I have come for this reason, to provide you help. Church, we need Jesus. People that are lost need Jesus. They're in need of help because of their weaknesses, and so they have been trying everything, trying to get help. See, somebody told them that if you take a hit of this, if you take a drink of this, someone told them if you would come out with me, you know, to the club, and if you would go with me to this place, and if you would dress this way, if you would walk this way, if we would talk with this way, that you can get your, you can be healed, you can be made whole. But lo and behold, they lied to us. They lied to us. See, what they told us to do and where they took us made our lives worse and not better. We did what they told us. We ended up with more damage. Are we yet together, church? We need Jesus. The truth of the matter, Jesus made us. He said, I know how to fix you. He says, I know how to fix you. Don't go to the liquor store. Listen. The folks that make the liquor, they need fixing. I mean, think about that. They know what alcohol does to people, but yet they make it, and they make it for a dollar for their own self-interest. And then they put commercials on television to entice you to hurt yourself, damage yourself. Church, you know, one thing growing up, I came to understand that drug dealers don't use drugs. I'm not talking about the ones on the street. You know, they, those are low level dealers. I'm talking about the high level dealers. They don't use drugs. See, high level dealers don't drive fancy cars. See, once you start seeing fancy cars in the neighborhood, that's a low level dealer. See, those that wear fancy jewelry and all those types of things, that's a low-level dealer. See, high-level dealers don't deal in that type of lifestyle. But they'll peddle it to others to damage their lives. See, it's the same way with television. The people that own the networks and put all this stuff on the television that's programming our minds and damaging our own self interest and identity, they don't watch that stuff. They don't even let their children watch it. Oh, we are together. But here's the thing. God knows his will for our lives. God knows the will of God for your life. What that means is that God knows what he has prepared for you. He says, I know the plans I have for you to prosper you and to not to harm you and to bring you to an expected and a desired end. And church, what that means is that if we're going to discover why we are and understand God's will for us, we have to seek him with our whole heart. We have to seek him with our whole hearts. And so this morning, what we want to deal with and understand is that not only does God know us, but God knows the times. And here in Acts chapter number 17, we're going to begin reading in verse number 24. God knows the times. And verse number 24 says that God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth and dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed. He had determined the times before appointed. Church, the times of our lives have been determined before. And the bounds of their habitations. And church, what we want to see this morning as it relates to God knows the times. Our point number one this morning is that God knows the times of our lives. God knows the times of your life. He knows the times of our lives. He knows the time of your life. And what that means is letter A, he knows the time of our birth. God knew the time of your birth. See, your birthday. See, in the mornings when we come into service on the screens, we have all the list of the birthdays. You remember that? And you might see your name up there and your birthday depending on the month. Well, see, God knew your birthday. God knew your birthday before your parents knew you. See, because God determined the time of your birth, they were determined beforehand, was determined before you got here. It has to be determined before you got. He knew the time of your birth. He knew the place of your birth. He knew the family of your birth. See, church, that's why we understand that we were born at the right time. We were born in the right place. We were born in the right race and ethnicity and culture. We understand that. But what happens is that God knows the time of our birth. What that means is that he determined the time of in which our natural life would begin. He determined the time in which our natural life would, in fact, begin. And our natural life begins when the spirit is in the body. Natural life is when the spirit is in our bodies. And you and I know by now that the real us is a spirit that lives on the inside of this body. See, what you're looking at is a type of spacesuit. See, you don't really see the real me. You see this spacesuit. And I needed this spacesuit to be able to operate in the earth. Matter of fact, it's not a spacesuit, it's an earth suit. And so we needed this earth suit to be able to operate in the earth. But the real me dwells on the inside of this body. See, I can't see the real you. What I see is your earth suit. And I know that the real you is on the inside of the earth suit. Church, that's why we don't want to judge based on what we see the earth suit doing. Because we know that the Lord has a desire for the person in the earth suit to be healed and restored. But we have to be careful of judging people based on what we see happening with the earth suit. And we determine that they have no value. Are we yet together? It's mighty quiet this morning. But the real you is spirit in your body. That's the real you. And our natural life began when the spirit was in our body. That's what happened in Genesis when God made Adam's body from the dust of the ground. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Are we together? We're talking about the fact that God knows the times, and he knows the times of our lives, and then let it be, God knows the course of our lives. See, God knows the course of your life. He knows the course of your life. Let's go to Isaiah 46. God knows the course of your life. When I talk about the course, I'm talking about the will and the purpose of your life. See, that's what the course is. God knows the will and the purpose of your life. He established the will and the purpose of our lives even before we had a body. He knew that before we had a body. That's why he told Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I knew thee. See, before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. I sanctified thee. I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nation. And he told Jeremiah, even before you had a body, I had already determined the will and the purpose for your life. See, I knew when you would be born, and you have to understand that I know the will and the purpose. I know the course of your life, and I established the course for your life. And church, that's why we have to be careful. See, if we don't know why we are, if we don't know that there is a course, we don't just look up and find the course. We just don't look up and find the course. And church, we have to realize that the course takes us to God's desired end. Come on, church. The course takes us to God's desired end, to the destination that he established. Are we here together? And so here it is. He's established the course of our life. He's established his will and his purpose. And church, all of us have a predetermined course or will for our lives. But now we have to make a choice as to which course we're going to follow. We're either going to follow the course that God has laid out for us, or we're going to follow the course of the devil. It's a choice. It's a choice. See, following God's course, following his will and purpose for our lives, will lead us to his destination. Following the devil's course and will and purpose for our lives leads to a different destination. And it's not a destination that we want. And it's not the destination that we're looking for. But here in Isaiah chapter number 46, are we there? Let's begin reading verse number 10. The Lord says, now declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. He's saying, my counsel shall stand. What he's talking about, he says, my purpose shall stand. See, my will and purpose shall stand, and I will do all that is pleasing in my sight. He says, I declare the end from the beginning. What he's saying is that I establish the end from the beginning. And it's my will and my purpose that's going to stand. And church, what that means to you and I is this, is that God started at the end. He started at the end, his expected end for our lives. That's where he started. And then he comes back to the beginning and we're born. Are we together? Church, that's why God, see, God is never confused. And God's not responding to our every move. Church, there's a course that has been laid out for us to run. And the Lord is saying, I established it before there was a beginning. Let me say that again. He says, I established the course before your beginning. That's what he told Jeremiah. I established your course before there was a beginning. And we have to make a choice as to which course we're going to follow and what we're going to do. That's the way of God. See, the way of God is to start at the end. But we think that God starts at the beginning. He doesn't start at the beginning. He starts at the end. And you and I understand this process. See, because when you go in to look at new homes, when you walk into the sales office and those types of things, they have these pictures on the wall of the homes. They have a finished end. And their finished end calls them to back up to the beginning to begin to produce the necessary blueprints and plans to arrive at the finished end. They didn't start building and drawing anything with no picture in mind. They started with the picture. They started with what they wanted first. Then they begin to back up because what they want first determines what needs to be done to produce what they want. See, that's also one of the reasons why we're not a mistake. That's also a reason why we're proof that we're needed, because God started at the end. He knows what he wants in the end. And when he knows what he wants in the end, it dictates the creation of what he made. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we have been fearfully and wonderfully made to succeed, meaning to arrive at his desired end. And so, church, when we knew this, church, God knows the times. He knows the time of our birth, and he knows the course of our lives. Let's go to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. And so here in Acts chapter number 20, we're going to look at our letter C this morning. And we're going to finish it up right here this morning. God knows the times of our lives. He knows the time of our birth. He knows the course of our lives. And then let us see, God knows the end. Church, God knows the end. God knows the end. God knows the time of our birth. And church, God knows the appointed time of our departure. And he knows the course in between. That's why in Hebrews chapter number 9 is where it says that it has been appointed unto every man. Of course, God knows the end. He knows when there has been, he knows the reservation that we have to depart from here. But the problem is that we can reschedule the reservation based on choices and decisions. See, sin can cause the reservation to be rebooked and to be rebooked earlier. But God knows the desired end. And it's our course that has an influence on the length of time in which we live. The course that he laid out for us influences the length of time in which we live. He knows the birth. He knows everything in between. And church, he knows the end. And in church, it's important for you and I to know God's will and God's purpose for our life. It's important for us to know God's established course for us. It's critical for us. And here in Acts chapter number 20, let's begin to pick up in verse number 22. We're going to see what the Apostle Paul has to say. The Apostle Paul says here in verse number 22, he says, "And now behold," he says, "I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." He says, "I don't know the things that are going to meet me there." You see that? He said, "I don't know what's going to meet me there. What I do know is that the Holy Ghost is witnessing in every city, saying to me that there are bounds and afflictions that shall in fact abide." He says, "I don't know exactly what's going to meet me there, but the Holy Spirit is witnessing to me." See, it's witnessing to me that there's going to be some things that I'm going to have to deal with, but I don't know exactly what's going to befall me. But the Holy Spirit is speaking those things that are yet to come, and he's letting me know that I'm going to have to go through some things. But verse number 24, he says, "But none of these things," what? "Move me." He says, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." See, I'm not doing this for me. So that I might finish what? With what? And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the good news of the grace of God. Paul is saying, I understand something. There's a course that has been set out for me. And he says that there's a destination. And I now understand, because there's a destination, I now understand that God has a purpose for my life. This is God's will. And I know God's will for my life. And because I know God's will for my life, I know the purpose for my life, then what I'm going to have to go through doesn't move me. Because I'm trying to get to the end. Because I need to finish. See, I have to finish the course that God laid out for me to run. And as I'm running this course is not for me. The course is for the benefit of others. And church, you and I know when we get to the finish line, that's when we get the medal. Church, help me together. See, that's when we get the medal. Church, we have to find our course, get on the course, and run the course and finish it. But you know what happens? When we begin to realize and understand that there's a purpose and a will for our lives, we're not moved by what we have to go through. See, no matter what it looks like, it doesn't move us. Because why? I'm trying to get to the end. And so whatever's on the course, I'm going to have to go through to get to the end. And I know whatever's on the course is not going to take me out, because God purposed me to reach the end. So when the storms of life and the circumstances of life come up on me, see, that doesn't cause me to lose my focus, because I know it's just something I have to go through to get to the end. Because God determined my end before I was born. So he didn't determine me to die in the middle. That's why Jesus, when he got in the boat with the disciples and they started to go to the other side and a storm arose and the disciples got upset and Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat, they woke him up, "Jesus, Master, we're going to perish." And Jesus woke up, "Where is thy faith?" I didn't say go to the middle of the lake and die. I said we're going to the other side. Because what God said is. He said, "Peace be still. I'm going back to sleep. You all go to sleep too." Church, we can't focus on what might happen to us. See, we're looking at our situations in life. And we're getting upset with the situations and circumstances of life. And the Lord says, that's not the end. Those are just distractions from your course. It's just a distraction from your course. It's a distraction to keep you from finishing. It's a distraction to keep you from finishing. Church, here's the thing. God knows the end, and he expects us to finish our course. See, because the way that God plans it is that we would finish our course and go on home to be with the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. That's God's plan. That we would finish our course and go on to be with the Lord. And so when we begin to look at our lives, we want to begin to look at our lives from this vantage point. God expects us to finish the course. He expects us to fulfill the course. And the fulfillment of our course is not measured in years. It's not measured by years. It's not measured by how long we live. But it's measured by the purpose that we accomplish. I mean, think about this. Jesus finished his course in the earth in 33 years. Moses didn't even begin till he was 80. Now, some people say 40. I say 80. Because Moses spent time on the backside of the desert when he was run out of Egypt. And so he spent all of the time. By the time he got to Pharaoh, he was 80 years old. And so, church, what we begin to look at then is that the course that God has laid out for us establishes the criteria for true success. Now, it doesn't cancel out natural success. But just because we have natural success doesn't mean that we have true success. And just because you have true success doesn't mean that because you don't have natural success that you're a failure. Because what God determines to be successful is did you finish? That's why we want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We don't care if we ever make it on television. We don't care if we ever become a celebrity. We don't care about any. We don't care if we ever drive a Rolls Royce. We don't care about none of that stuff. What we want to hear is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because when we leave here, somebody else is going to be riding in the Rolls. They're going to put different rims on it, hang different things from the mirror. Are we here together? Fulfillment of the course is not measured by years. It's measured by the purpose we establish, the purpose that he actually established. That's what it's measured by. See, that's a fulfilled life. See, we can live 100 years old, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a fulfilled life. You can live 30 years old and live a fulfilled life. And God's plan is for every one of us to finish our course and then go home. Here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, let's begin reading verse number 1. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And he says, now, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. We're living in the midst of time where people don't want to hear sound teaching. See, they want to hear that which speaks to their own lusts. So what they do is they search out a teacher that's going to tell them what they want to hear to fulfill their lust. And so they're heaping teachers to themselves because they have itching ears. And they're looking for a teacher that's going to scratch their itch. And they turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. See, fables sound good, and fables will scratch our ears, make us feel good. Church, this From the Heart is not that type of church. When you come to From the Heart, you're going to be stretched. You're going to be made uncomfortable. Because that's what the truth does. The truth stretches us and makes us uncomfortable. Because if we're in our comfort zone, it could be an indication we're not on our course. But if we're on our course and we're comfortable, guess what? We're not making progress. We're not making progress. That's why from the heart, when you come, you're going to be offended. Have you heard the truth is offensive? The truth is offensive. It offends. But church, we need to be offended. You know, when you were growing up, that's when you wanted to fight, when you got offended. You know it's true. And so what the Lord is trying to do, he's trying to stir you up, get you ready to fight. Get mad about something. Get offended. And if I'm the object of your offense, so be it. Why? Because I've got a course to run. You've got a course to run. I've got a course to fulfill, and you've got a course to fulfill. Which would you rather have, to be comfortable and not finish, and be uncomfortable and finish? Would you rather be comfortable and not get to go, or just be comfortable? Would you rather be offended and get the gold and be comfortable and not get the gold? I mean, which one do you want? Are we together, church? And that's why Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season. Preach it if they want to hear it, and even if they don't want to hear it. Then he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, but watch thou in all things. And he told Timothy, now endure afflictions. Church, you and I have to endure afflictions. We have to do the work that God has sent us to do. We have to make full proof of our ministry. Then Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. How did Paul know that the time of his departure was at hand? And he says, I have fought a good fight. I have what? Finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul says, I finished my course, so I know that my departure is on the horizon. And I'm going not because physically I have to go. I'm going because the reason why I'm here is over. And I can now go in peace. Verse number 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Church, God knows the times. He knows the times of our lives. He knows our birth. He knows the course of our lives. And church, God knows our end. And it's God's plan that we will arrive at our end and go home to be with the Lord. Church, are we together? Church, there's a course laid out for us. And it sets the criteria for true success with God. A fulfilled life is not based on the number of years. The fulfilled life is based on the accomplishment of the purpose, the reason, the will of God. And next week, we'll begin to deal with the seasons of our lives. Within that course, there are seasons. And so as we progress through the seasons, we begin to understand what God wants us to do based on the season of our lives. But ultimately, church, we've got to get to the end. And the thing about it is that if we don't get to the end of God's will, that means that God has to send someone else to take his will forward to finish it. Church, I'm pressing the church. I want you to hear my heart. I'm pressing the church. And the reason I'm pressing you is that because there's so much more in you. When I talk to you, when I look at you, when I have conversations, I just listen to what you say. I just listen to what you've been through. There's so much more in you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and the truth of the matter is that you know it. I can't finish my course to prepare you for ministry, for the work of the ministry, and allow you to stay where you are. I can't finish God's will for my life and his purpose for my life and to leave you comfortable. The Lord wants you to finish. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you're still here, he's got will and purpose for your life. Next week, we'll talk about the seasons of life. Are we together? Church, this is good stuff. I would love to tell you more, but my time is up, and I want to thank you for yours. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. For those that are listening via the CD, we want you to know and understand that God has a purpose for your life. And that purpose dictated your birth. That purpose also dictates what he would have you to do with the life and the time that he has in fact given you. But being able to discover that purpose and be able to fulfill that course begins with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to encourage you right now at this moment to call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to come into your heart, to change your heart, and to turn your life around so that you too might hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We're praying for you, and it's our desire that you would in fact join us once again.